Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Would you pray with me, Father, tonight? We declare glory to your name, the only name given in heaven on earth by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. That at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, tonight, we glory in your presence. Tonight, Father, as we approach the communion table, God, I thank you, Lord, that we're remembering something holy and true. The greatest moment in history. That the God-man would lay down his life for us. He is the Lamb of God that was slain since before the foundation of the earth. God, you had this in your heart before you ever created us, before we ever fell or sinned. God, you already knew what you were going to do to bring us into unbroken fellowship. God, tonight we remember. Tonight, God, we're thankful. And tonight, God, we say glory to his name, the name of Jesus. Can we just bring glory to his name tonight? Can you lift your praise to him tonight? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the suffering, God, and for the beating, God. Lord, it was ours, but Jesus took it upon himself. And we are so grateful tonight. Wow. Smile at somebody around you. Say hi to somebody and you can have a seat. We're so grateful that you guys joined us. And for those of you guys joining us online because of distance or because you're not able to make it, just know that we love you and we're with you in spirit tonight. Tonight, if you're watching online and you don't have communion elements, I would encourage you to go grab something. If you have bread, if you have grape juice, if you don't have that, grab some crackers and some water, whatever you have. I mean, it could be a saltine and some orange soda. It's not about what the natural element is. It's about your heart and what you're doing in remembrance. And so tonight, we're going to remember the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very special communion service. I tell you, they sang that first song, and I was a wreck. And I thought, why did we have to sing that song? It's killing me right now. And then they sang the second song, and I said, oh, God, why did we have to sing that song? That one's really killing me. Then they got to that third one, and I'm done. You know, like, I'm just a big old baby over there crying and sobbing. But, you know, when you fell in love with Jesus, and when you remember what he's done, you can't help but be emotional and be moved. And tonight, my hope is that you're moved. That tonight that you remember and that it causes something to happen on the inside of you. We're going to get into the word of the Lord tonight in 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there with me. Chapter number 11, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's talking to the Corinthian church about why we have communion. What is the Lord's Supper? What is the reason behind it? Are we just coming together just to do a religious experience in their day? Are they just having a meal? Is it just a potluck that everybody comes together? What's really going on? And in verse number 23, he starts to give them instruction. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Notice that this is from Jesus himself. That's the authority on which we do this, is because Jesus was the one that instituted this supper for us to partake of together. This isn't an idea of man. This is not an institution of the church. This is something that Jesus said, I want you to do. And he says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, it's hard to watch that movie, The Passion of the Christ, isn't it? It's brutal. I tell you, I had to turn away several times. I wasn't even watching out here because I didn't want to cry in front of all of you guys. I was watching in the back. But it's hard to watch. It's hard to think of that they would punch him repeatedly over and over again, tear his beard out, spit upon him. That cat of nine tails was a very real thing. It had bits of bone and metal at the end of it. And when they would wrap that around his body, those pieces of bone and metal would dig into the flesh, and when they would pull back, it would tear the flesh off of the body. Crucifixion was the worst way to die. The Romans were masters at the art of killing somebody. They had several ways of capital punishment. And out of all of them, crucifixion was the worst. Jesus said that night, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, I understand that a movie is going to take some license, and as well, they took from different stories throughout the ages. And yet, you can see the reverence that they had for the blood. Every time Jesus' blood was seen on that movie, every time that you saw it, it was regarded as something holy, something precious. And that's the same thing with us. When we approach this table, this communion table, with the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ represented in bread and grape juice, this is a holy thing. This is a very special thing. It says this in verse number 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Really what it's saying is you're proclaiming that Jesus died for our sins. And that is the proclamation that we're making, that his body was broken open for us, that his blood was shed, and now we can have a relationship with Jesus. And we're proclaiming something tonight as we eat and as we drink, that Jesus died for us, and yet he raised again to life, and he's coming again. That's why it says until he comes. Verse 27, though, continues on. If you notice, this wasn't written in chapter and verse. That was added later by translators, and that was added later so that we could have a better understanding of the scriptures and find things easily. But this was one continuous thought. And the very first word in verse number 27 is therefore. In other words, because of what I just said about the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what I just said about his death and us doing something to remember and to proclaim until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, we know that our sin was what put Jesus on the cross. It's the reason why he laid down his life. He was innocent. It wasn't because of his own sin. It was because of our sin. And because of that, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous. We're also declared not guilty. But he says, if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty. Well, wait, hold on. Which one is it? Well, let's read on and see what it's saying. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. What does that mean? Take a look inside. Check yourself out. The Bible says to test yourself to see whether or not you're really in the faith. And it says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. Two times in three verses, he says the same thing. You know, when God starts repeating himself, we ought to pay attention and listen to what God is saying. He says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Notice you didn't understand what it was really about, all about. You didn't discern the fact that this body was broken for me and that this blood was shed for me. And therefore, you're eating and drinking judgment on yourself. Now, we know that anyone who is in Christ, anyone who is a Christian, that the judgment has passed over them because Jesus is our Passover lamb. And therefore, you won't be eating and drinking in an unworthy manner if you're rightly discerning the body and the blood of our Lord. And it says, for this reason, my page turned. It says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, or many die. Notice verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We need to understand that only people who are born again, born of the Spirit of God, people who have been declared righteous, people who have been declared not guilty, people who rightly discern the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the ones that can come and eat and drink in a worthy manner. Because there is no way to become worthy on your own. You cannot be good enough to earn your way into heaven. You can't be good enough or smart enough, nice enough or pretty enough. You can't do enough good deeds. This is not a thing like the Boy Scouts where if you just add up enough good works that you'll get a badge and then you get to go to heaven and you get to be right with God. Nowhere in the Bible to say that you can be good enough to earn your way into God's grace and God's favor. You will not become worthy with God by being good. There's only one who is worthy, only one who is good. His name is Jesus. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, you know, not only was I a good person, I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or St. Christopher around your neck. Had you baptized or christened as a child, you went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, maybe even catechism class. You've always considered yourself to be a Christian. You're born in America. America is a Christian nation, or some other nation that has a segment of that nation, or the whole nation that says it's a Christian nation. And we're all Christians. We're all going to heaven. We're not any other religions. We're not Buddhists. We're not Muslims. We're not Hindus. We're Christians, right? But you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because of your upbringing, your family association, your location on the earth, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals you're involved in, none of that will get you into heaven. And tonight, I'm loving you enough, respecting you enough, and honoring you enough to tell you the truth. If that's how you think that you're going to make it, then you might as well let that cup pass you by, because you'll be eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, it wasn't just a childish thing for me. Here I am sitting in church in front of you right now. I didn't wait for Easter. I came on Good Friday. That must really mean that I'm a Christian. I am in church all the time, and I believe that makes me a Christian. Maybe you're watching online. I wouldn't be watching online if I wasn't a Christian, would I? But you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you sit in a church service or watch one online that makes you a Christian. That's like me going to Dodger Stadium wearing a Dodger uniform, bringing my bat and my ball, thinking that I'm going to get to play in the game because I sat in the dugout and I called myself a Dodger. You know what's going to happen? They're going to find me sitting there, drag me out, and lock me up. Why? Because I'm not a member of the Dodgers organization. The same way, you can't just sit in church or watch one online, call yourself a Christian, and that makes you a member of the family of God. That makes you a part of the body of Christ. It doesn't work like that. You will not go to heaven just because you sat in church or watched church service online and called yourself a Christian. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, my last church, I got involved. I didn't just sit. I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible. I made decisions in that church. People thought of me as a leader, even got a membership card and taught in the Bible classes. And while those are all great things to do you know that none of those is going to get into heaven? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that your involvement in church is going to get you into heaven. God's not some bank commercial looking for what's in your wallet, hoping that there's a membership card or some sort of volunteer hours before you can enter the gates of heaven. You're not going to make it that way. And like I said tonight, if that's how you think that you're going to get to go to heaven, you're going to want to let the communion pass you by. Sometimes you say, well, Pastor, hold on a second, because I know God. I know about Jesus, know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. I've seen the Passion of the Christ. I've seen the flannel board stories growing up in Sunday school class. Had the golden book about Jesus. And, you know, all my life, I've known all the stories. I could tell you scriptures, Old and New Testament, Pastor. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? Well, no. Do you know that the Bible records that the devil can quote scriptures? He's not a Christian. We know he's headed for the lake of fire. Demons believe, the Bible says, and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it to heaven. So everybody look up here at me for a second. It's not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about mental ascent towards God, knowing who Jesus is, and that gets you right with God. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, or involvement. If that's how you think that you're worthy, if that's how you think that you're right with God, then like I said, pass the communion elements by. Don't receive, because remember what we read. It said, because of this reason, many are weak, many are sick, and many die. I don't want that for you. I don't want you eating and drinking judgment to yourself. No, you might as well let that pass you by. Or how about this? Get right with God, God's way. It's only through God's effort that we can be made worthy and that we can receive communion in a worthy manner. It's only by rightly discerning the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that you've come to God God's way. Can't get there your way, my way, some well-meaning church committee's way. We have to get to heaven God's way. Well, what's God's way? Well, Jesus is God, and he said this in John, the third chapter. He said, you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know our society's raked that through the coals. They made a mockery out of that. But let's not let society, Hollywood, movies, television, books, or blogs on the internet define for us what being born again is. Let's let the Bible do that for us. What does being born again really mean from the Bible? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing. It simply means that you've surrendered to God all of your heart and that you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to a church, just like he's speaking to here, us here in this church tonight, live and online. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit from my mouth. Now, that's pretty gross, pretty graphic words from the mouth of Jesus. But what is he saying? He's saying half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. You can't be a little in, little out, little up, little down, little token prayer every now and again, occasional church attendance. God is something in your life, not everything. And you're not opposed to God, but you're not wholehearted for God and expect to make it to heaven. It's not going to work. It's not going to make it. Because In Revelation, he said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. That shows me that only people that are not real Christians will be ejected and rejected from the body of Christ. So tonight, you need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. As you lay down your life, God comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. You know, every year when I watch that movie, The Passion of the Christ, something hits a little different. And tonight, it was when Jesus looked at Mary and he said, see, Mother, I make all things new. That's a direct quote from the book of Revelation. Jesus says, I make all things new. And when he comes into your heart and life, when you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, he makes you brand new on the inside. That's the being born again part. It's not the outward man, it's the inward man. The real you on the inside of you that would live on if you die. You see, death is separation. You're an eternal being, but when you separate from your body, that's physical death. But if you were separated from God in hell for eternity, that's the second death. That's spiritual death. But tonight, you don't have to experience that second death. You don't have to eat and drink judgment to yourself. No, tonight, you can come to this table of the Lord, remembering what Jesus did for you on the cross. Remembering that he was beaten, that he bled, and that he died on your behalf. He took the punishment and the penalty for your sin. He died a death that you should have died and that I should have died. That was our penalty he took. That was our death. And yet he took that separation from the Father, and the wrath of God for our sin was poured out on him there on the cross. That's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because God laid the punishment of our sin upon him in that moment. We don't understand the agony that was for the first time Jesus Christ ever knowing separation from the Father. But Jesus, even though he was buried in a grave, it was a borrowed grave, and he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose. And because he lives now, he offers life to all because he has an endless life. But you have to simply come to him and lay down your life. Jesus said that you would take up your cross and follow him. What does that mean? That means that you die to yourself. You're separated from the old life, and now you're connected to true life, eternal life, the life of God. It all happens when you give God all of your heart and when you give God all of your life. And then tonight, you can come to the table of the Lord in a worthy manner. You can eat and drink, not judgment to yourself, but health and strength and the goodness of God over your life. It all happens when you've surrendered all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus, not coming in your own worth. No, coming in the worthy manner, because God has made you worthy to approach. He has made you brand new. He's cleaned you. He's washed you with his blood. And now you can come in a worthy manner. Here's what I'm going to do tonight. It couldn't be any easier. Is that I just want to simply pray with you in your seats. Why prayer? Because Jesus said this. Actually, in the book of Romans, it said this. The Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, right, through the prophet, said this, that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's a simple confession to say that I want to give God all my heart, I want to give God all my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and I'm inviting him into my life. And that simple confession of faith is what saves us. It's when we surrender all of our heart and life and lay it down before God that he comes in. And like I said, it couldn't get any easier. Tonight, I'm not going to call you forward, but I want to pray with you right there in your seats. And I want to lead you in that prayer, and tonight, you can pray that prayer, be born again, be saved, headed for heaven, and denying hell. But I want to know who I'm praying with tonight. So I'm going to ask you to do something that may be bold for you, but like I said, I'm not going to call you forward or anything like that. I want to pray with you right there in your seat, but I do want to know who I'm praying with. So I'm going to ask you to be bold enough to just simply raise your hand. And what you're doing in raising your hand is you're acknowledging your need for Jesus. And Jesus said, if you confess me before man, if you're here live, I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You can put it right back down. Online, you can just throw it up for a moment and then put it right back down. God sees you. God's watching right where you're at. And like I said, right afterwards, right there in your seat, I'm going to pray with you. Couldn't get any easier than tonight. Now, who should raise their hand? If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Come on, tonight. It's your night to make sure. Who should raise your hand? Maybe you've never done this before. Could have been in church all your life, but you never crossed that line, surrendering all of your heart and life to Jesus. I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand if you're lukewarm? Maybe you're half-hearted. Maybe you're backslidden. At one time, you're on fire for God. You found yourself in a place you never thought you'd be, doing things you never thought you'd do. And tonight, you want to come home like the prodigal. Like I said, tonight, it's this easy. Acknowledge your need for Jesus and then pray that prayer from your heart. Tonight, it's your night of salvation. All across this auditorium, back in the family rooms, I see you guys online, wherever you're at. Maybe you're out there in the foyer. Maybe you just felt so unworthy that you didn't even want to come into the church service, but you're listening outside in the foyer or down the breezeways right now. Come on, God is speaking to you right now. You can raise your hand and pray that prayer right where you're at. I'm going to count to three, pop my hand right here, on this microphone, and then you get your hand up if you want to pray that prayer with us tonight, and you can come and eat and drink in a worthy manner. On the count of three, here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high. Hold them up high and keep them up high until I count you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Thank you. 12. Got you right there. 13, 14. Yes. Up on top. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Way up in the back. I got you right there. 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Thank you. 34 right here. Yes. God bless you. 35, 36. Thank you. God bless you. 36 wise people, if I saw your hand, you can put it down. If I did not see your hand, get it up high right now. 36, 37, right there. Yes, thank you. God bless you. 37 wise people. Anybody else tonight? 38 in the back, I got you over there. Yes, thank you. 38, God bless you. Who else tonight? Come on, you need to surrender all of your heart. You need to surrender all of your life to Jesus Christ. Down here, anyone else? Right there, thank you. 39. Come on, number 40. If you're sitting there wondering if you should do this, yeah, you should. Come on, don't wait another moment. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Number 40, I got you. Thank you, and God bless you. Who else tonight? Anybody else? I want to make sure. There's 41. Yeah, 42 right here. Yes, thank you. God bless you. 42 wise people. Anybody else? You stand. I just want to make sure. That's okay. Maybe tonight you're wavering, and you're just going, I don't know. I just, maybe I am. Hey, why not make sure tonight? Like I said, it couldn't get any easier. There's 41 wise people already. Anybody else need to surrender to God all of your heart, and you need to surrender to God all of your life? There's 42. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Come on, if you need to surrender to God, this is the moment. This is the time. It couldn't get any better. Who else tonight? 42. Thank you. In the back, 43. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Just one more moment. 44. Awesome. If God's dealing with your heart right now and you know that you feel that tug, just surrender. Just surrender. All right, 45. Yeah. Wonderful. Best decision right here. Best decision. Because tonight you're going to eat and drink in a worthy manner. Last call. Last call. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray. Like I said, I'm going to pray that prayer. Yeah, 46. Yep. So glad you did that. Anyone else, real quick? Last call, like I said. Last call. All right. 47. You slipped in right at the end. That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's do this. Can we all stand together in the presence of the Lord? It's just something about standing in the presence of God and declaring the promises of God. Tonight, I'm going to lead you in this simple prayer, whether you're live or even online, if you're giving your heart to the Lord. I'll give you short, simple phrases to say. I want you to repeat them out loud in faith, okay? Repeat them from your heart. Now, listen, I know that sometimes the sound in this room can be a little crazy. You hear the back slap and all that kind of stuff. What did he say? I missed a word. Am I still saved? Absolutely, you are. It's not about the words of your mouth. It's about the attitude of your heart and the expression of your heart in this moment. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. All 47 of you and the rest, you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have. You can still pray this out loud together in faith, even online. Come on, pray this with us. Everybody say these words. Say, Father God. Oh, come on, everybody say it together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Tonight is my night of salvation. I give you all my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, and lead me for the rest of my days. Because from now on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. Tonight, I will eat and drink in a worthy manner because of what you've done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand tonight. Give God a great big praise. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, tonight, as you're having a seat, if you would grab your communion elements, my beautiful, lovely wife, would you join me up here with the communion cups that you grabbed? And I just want to remind you what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, as I meditated in these verses, it's amazing to me that Jesus did something. He was always showing what he was doing. There was physical representations. There was parables, stories that he would tell, that he would throw alongside spiritual truths to help people to understand. And then there was times he would just flat out explain stuff, you know, like, hey guys, this is what it is. I'm so grateful for all three of those, because we learn in so many different ways. And God wanted to make sure that we got an understanding and a picture of what he was doing. And so that night he did something. He took bread. He took bread. You have this little cellophane topper on your communion cup, and you're welcome to peel that back and just open that up to that little wafer. I was doing it one-handed, girl. Thank you. She's helping me out.
I'm your helpmate.
She is my helpmate. But he took bread. He took bread. He was showing them something when he did this. It was strategic. Because that bread represented himself. Represented what he was going to do for them. But it also represented what he had done. See, if bread represented the body, he was showing them that I took a form. I took bread. I took a form. I took a body. In the book of Hebrews, it quotes one of the Psalms where it says, for a body you've prepared for me. And here I am to do your will. It's written about me in your book. Jesus was submitted to the will of the Father. And he came not to be served, not as a king, even though he was a great king and is a great king. But he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what did he do? He took bread. He took a body. I want to read to you John 13, 3 and 4. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Notice Jesus came from God, and he was going to God. This journey of life, he came from God. He was broken from the side of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came from the bosom, the side of the Father. God broke from himself, from his side, his very essence and his nature. And he sent himself in the form of his son to the earth. Now, I don't know how that works. It still baffles my mind that Jesus had to pray to the Father. And yet, broken from the Father's side, but in order to host God, he needed a body. He took bread. Because there was going to come a time that that body would be resurrected and he would go back to the side of the Father. Jesus is seated at the right hand today of the Father. And then it says in verse 4, he says, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. Now, many times we think about this in the fact that we should serve one another. And that was the immediate application that Jesus gave to his disciples. Do you understand what I've done? He says, I want you to do this for one another. But notice Jesus took bread. He came from the Father and he took a body. And now here he is at supper. And what does it say? It says he laid aside his garments. He disrobed and then he re-robed. Isn't that what Jesus did from heaven? Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 in the English Standard Version says, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He took bread. He took a body. He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He took bread. He was showing them something. He's saying, guys, I'm God. But I did something. I emptied myself. I disrobed. And then I put on a form. I put on the form of a servant. Can you imagine Jesus being naked, all except a towel? And taking that towel that he was girded with, girded was wrapping around, tying in, almost like when you get out of the shower and you wrap that towel around, you tuck it in, you know? Here's Jesus, girded, wrapped up in a towel. The Bible says that he washed the disciples' feet. What was he doing? He was taking that towel that he was wearing, and he was washing the feet of the disciples. Now, I don't want to wash your feet, let alone somebody who's been wearing leather sandals all their life. Fishermen. Walking roads that are dusty, full of animal feces and urine. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, Jesus was wearing the towel that he was washing the disciples' feet with. Every last one of those disciples, by the way, was going to abandon him. One of them was going to betray him. And he still washed their feet. Why? Because Jesus took on our mess. He took on our dirt. He took on our stains of sin upon himself. He wore them. He took a form. He took bread. He took bread. And he said, take, eat. He served it to them. He took the form of a servant. He took upon himself our sin. The amazing thing is that he didn't stop there at sin. Do you know that? The Bible says that he himself bore our iniquities, and by his stripes you were healed. It says that he bore our pain and he bore our sickness on the cross, our physical infirmities. Matthew's gospel applies that directly to the healing miracles that Jesus did. That shows me that it's not just the spiritual man, but it's the whole man. Spirit, soul, and body. Your salvation is all-encompassing. Why? Because Jesus took bread. He took on the form of a servant. He took our sin. He took our suffering. He took our pain. He took our sickness upon himself. He was the only one that could deal with the mess that we were in. And he dealt with it perfectly and fully. And then he served it to us and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Tonight, as we remember, you know, I often take my little wafer that I have and I snap it in half just to remember that the body was broken. And no matter how hard I would try, I could never repair the damage that I've done. And Jesus, the cross is enough. It's once and for all. You can't be good enough to earn it, but you also can't be bad enough to keep yourself out of it. And this is available for all of us. And tonight, as you eat, do it in remembrance of him. Do it remembering the suffering, the sacrifice, but also that Jesus took your sin and your sickness upon himself on the cross. Can we pray together? Father, we thank you for the body that was prepared. We thank you, Lord, that you took bread, God. You took upon yourself the form of a servant. You emptied yourself. You disrobed of glory because you didn't think it robbery to be considered equal with God, and yet you became of no reputation, God. A humble servant. You took the form of a slave, God, a bond servant. And you took our sin, you took our suffering, you took our sickness, you took our pain, and you took our penalty there on the cross. And God, we're grateful. Oh, Lord, how could we ever say thank you enough for what you've done for us on the cross? Thank you for the body of Jesus that was beaten, bruised, and battered so that we could be made whole and healthy in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take, eat in remembrance of him.
Nobody else is good. Nobody else is kind. Nobody else will lay their life down on the line.
What a beautiful week we have stepped into. This is a holy weekend. As Christians, it's something that maybe you're a newer Christian and you don't understand the depth of all of it. I hope you catch some of it this weekend. Because this is called Good Friday. And as Good Friday was approaching, Jesus had many steps along the way. I woke up this morning and my heart was just full. You know, it was a year ago that I couldn't even come to Easter services because my heart was so broken because I had lost my dad. And I just couldn't face people. I just wanted to be alone. And I was so broken. And this year I woke up on Good Friday ready to go, ready to just run and just, and I have been crying all day. Ask my son Titus, poor Ty, he just hugged me all day. And I read the word to him this morning and I sent a text out to my kids because they're everywhere and they're all over. And I sent this text and I just said, what a beautiful day this is. What a beautiful day. You see, Jesus in Luke 22, I love this part of the story, verse 14 through 20. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. He's sitting with his disciples. And when that time came, Jesus and the apostles, they sat down at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until the meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took this cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it into pieces and he gave it to the disciples saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine. And he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and people, an agreement confirmed with blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. I want to go into 1 Corinthians 10, and at AM we've been going through this. And that new cup that he's referring to in Luke 22, go with me to 1 Corinthians 10:16, if you don't have it on the overheads, I did not send this in. And it says, the cup of blessing, this is what he's talking about, the cup of blessing, which he blessed, is not the cup of communion. It is the blood of Christ. The bread into which they break is not the communion, but the body of Christ. For we are, through many, are one bread and one body. For we are partakers of that one bread. You and I, because of what Jesus did on that night at the Lord's Supper, he was establishing that if the Passover was to remember the old ways, the old covenant, the ways of old. And here was Jesus himself with his disciples. And he was establishing a new covenant. A covenant that included you. A covenant that included me. A covenant that included your children. Included your generations, included your family, included those that haven't even yet been born. This is a new covenant. We are no longer under the old law, but because God himself became Jesus, became flesh, the only one who could. He came and he said, this is my blood, which was shed for you. That blood represents forgiveness of sins. That blood represents a washing away and a cleansing, a restoring that only God himself could do for us. It was the blood that washes and cleanses and makes us whole. It was a new covenant. At that Passover meal was the very beginning of the Lord's suffering. And this means that there's a new way. He has made a new way for the eternal, for us and him to be together. There's a new way, a new bond. There's a new establishment because of the blood of Jesus between you and I, and between him and us. You see, we are now one with him, and he is one with us. God's sovereignty is now established in this new covenant. And through this blood, through the blood of Jesus, we are washed, we are clean, and we are forgiven. I want to go real quick to Luke 22, 41 through 43. And he, after they had gone to the Lord's Supper, he talks about the betrayals of Peter, which just made my heart break when you think about it. Peter loved God, and yet he betrayed him 3 times before the rooster crowed twice. You got Judas. You saw that on the movie if you were here. If not, Judas, he kissed him right to his face. The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Who do you say you are? Do you think you're the Messiah?" He said, "I am." I wrote in my text to all my kids, that was a language they understood. In the time of Abraham and Moses, he declared himself the great I am. And here he was standing in front of them himself, these men who studied these scriptures. And they couldn't even see the great I am. Don't miss him today. Don't miss him today. He's with you right now. He's with you in your broken places. He's with you in the moments of joy. He's with you in the good and the bad. He's with us, church. He'll be with us through the persecution. He'll be with us through the trials. He'll be with us in the valleys. He will be with us on the mountaintops, because that's his new covenant. We are no longer these old, washed away people that are just surviving and getting by and living according to the ways of this world. But I am now a new creation. I have a new covenant, and he is my great I am. And when he established who he was, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told them to pray. And he went and he knelt on his knees. Luke 22, 41, and he walked away about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and he prayed, "Father," I just love how God is talking to God. "If you are willing, please take this cup." Remember the cup we just talked about in Luke? It's the same covenant, the new covenant. "Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And then an angel of heaven appeared and strengthened him. He needed God to come and build him up for the moment he was about to endure, for you and for I. Because he became that spotless lamb. His blood was shed for us. It goes on to talk about how he was under so much stress in this moment. He was beginning to bear the weight of our sin. He was beginning to bear the weight of the world. He was beginning to bear the weight. We carry weights in life, don't we? When you're at work and you've had a heavy day at work and some hard decisions had to be made, or maybe you have some really life-altering decisions that have to be made about your families, or maybe there's things that wear on you and they weigh on you and you carry them like this. Think about the weight of the entire world and all of humanity on your shoulders. He was beginning to take on the suffering. And it said that as he prayed, that his sweat came out in blood. Right there was the beginning of the shedding of the blood that would one day, as he walked that road and carried that cross and was stripped open for us and his blood was shed, will wash away our sins. So church, we are the New Testament body of Christ. We are those that are undeserving, but yet that moment on that cross is why we come tonight to honor and take this cup. Get your cup ready, because we're going to be partakers, sojourners, one with God. Lord, we come to you tonight. Your word says, drink of this blood and do it in remembrance of me. So Lord, we honor you tonight. We want to say thank you for washing away our sins, for cleansing us, for going to that cross and taking on what we could not fix ourselves, but being the spotless lamb that now has given us access to all that heaven has for us. Lord, we honor you tonight and we drink in remembrance of the blood of Jesus. Go ahead and partake. Stand up.
Nobody else is good. Nobody else is kind. Nobody else will lay their life down on the line. Nobody else can do.
God good? Come on, has he been good to you? Are you thankful tonight? Hallelujah. Well, hey, we have a weekend ahead of us, church, and we're just getting started. Tonight is just the beginning. What a special night. What a great time together as a body of Christ. We're still believing God, and we want to see great things this weekend, and so it's not too late to invite someone with you to church tomorrow morning. 10 a.m., we're going to be here with our first Easter experience. And then Sunday morning, 6:30 out there in the courtyard, we do have our sunrise service. And so bring your blanket and chair and get ready for a great time out. And Pastor Jess, you're doing the sunrise service this year. All right? So it's going to be a powerful word. You're going to absolutely love it. And we're going to just celebrate our risen King as the sun is rising over the Inland Empire. We're going to be proclaiming that the sun is risen indeed. Amen. And so it'll be a great time. And then I would encourage you guys to stay through because we've got a breakfast special going on at Montajano's Tacos over there in the Love Rock Cafe. So grab some breakfast, $10. You get French toast sticks, eggs, and some other stuff. It's so good. You know, coffee bar will be open. So you can tell I'm fasting, right? I'm like, man, those French toast sticks, babe.
Stop talking
French
about
French toast sticks. So praise the Lord. But we're going to have a great time. And then 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, we've got our Easter experiences here in the main sanctuary. And then 1:30 p.m. In Spanish, we're going to have a great time at La Roca celebrating Pascua. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Amen. All right. Good deal. I didn't get as good of a response for that one because they're all over there at their Spanish communion service right now. So, you want to get a good amen. You got to say that when the Spanish speakers are in the room. So praise the Lord. God is good. Hey, we love you guys so much. If it is your first time with us, you're very special to us, and we just are so grateful that you joined us. Come back and join us again real soon. We do have a video that you can take a look at there on the overhead screens. Put in some information if you'd like someone from the church to contact you. And then for those of you 47, I'll just be evangelistic and say 50 plus, because I know that not everybody raises their hand, but you probably prayed that prayer. On your way out tonight, there's going to be some friends, okay? People, they're going to have some free materials, and they would love to get that to your hands, connect with you for a quick moment. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it was a rededication, on your way out, make sure to head over to those friends. Just get a hold of those materials, connect with them for that quick minute, and then you can head home. Can I bless you as we go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let me bless you. Father, these are your people called by your name, God. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, we're going out to the Inland Empire tonight, tomorrow, God. We're going to be celebrating Easter this weekend. And God, we as a body ask your blessing over every celebration here at The Rock, but God, also for all of our brothers and sisters worldwide that are gathering together, God. Lord, we do pray over your body, God, and whether they're gathering in a building or whether they're persecuted and gathering in a home, God. Oh, Lord, may your spirit be poured out on your church, God. May you empower them, God, and may you be in the midst of their celebrations. And Father, we ask for the salvation of the nations, God. We ask, Lord, for the Inland Empire, and we declare out loud, on purpose, and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.